We heard Celeste Shearer on the horn and Dina K. Jones on the piano playing Why Because, music by James Grant from their brand new CD, Sultry and Eccentric, the music of James Grant. We have everybody on Zoom right now. Celeste Shearer and Dina K. Jones, welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And Jim Shearer as well.
Hi, how are y'all?
So this CD was many years in the making, as I recall. I think it says in it 8 years. And congratulations. We've actually talked about this before on my show, and I think you were in recording and doing some concerts, and you've got a CD release concert coming up. And actually, why don't you tell us the details about that now, and then we'll repeat them later on.
Great. This is Celeste, and we've got a concert on Friday, September 17, in the New Mexico State University Recital Hall. It's a CD release concert for Sultry and Eccentric, and what I'm really excited about is we're going to be playing a lot of really pretty music, and I love playing Jim Grant's pretty stuff. We'll have a couple of other tunes on the concert that are from the first album, which was Haunted America's Suite. And I want everybody who's hearing this to come fill the seats, because I'm thrilled that we're getting to play live. We will repeat the concert on Saturday night, September 18, 7:30 p.m. in the UTEP Recital Hall. So a great opportunity for people who haven't been out for live music to please come out and enjoy an evening with absolutely beautiful James Grant music.
So when I was preparing this interview, I pulled up an interview that we did with James Grant when he was here in 2012.
Oh.
And I for the Warner Hutchison New Music Festival. And I asked him at the time about, and I made a comment like, it seems like in the 21st century, we were only 12 years into the century at that point, that we were going back to tonality. And he took umbrage with the word back, and he said, no, we're going forward into a new tonality that we couldn't have had if we hadn't gone through all of the 20th century and all the other kinds of music, or emphasizing other kinds of music that has happened in the last many, 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 many decades. So I was going to play a clip of that, but it ended up, it would just be too long. And so I'm just paraphrasing it now. But I think you know, that's what his music is. It's very beautiful. It's the word that's used in the liner notes or on his bio, I think, is immediacy. And I like that rather than accessibility. There's just something very immediate and there, and people can hear it and hear the beauty in it and the tonality.
Yes.
Yeah, I feel when I play James Grant music that there's something very U.S. sounding about it, or American, North American sounding. I know he reflects a lot upon it, nature and such, and it just feels really great in my soul when I play music with Jim and Celeste, of course, but from this composer in particular.
Yeah, there's something very heartfelt about all of the pieces, and he goes through many. It's not as if it's just, what we just heard, the Why Because is a very reflective piece. It's very pensive, but that's not the way all of his music is. Some of it's, the sultry, and there's the eccentric, right? And upbeat and a lot of different moods, but there is something very genuine and heartfelt about it. So the CD features what we just heard, Why Because, also a concerto for French horn and tuba, in which Jim Shearer plays with Celeste, so lovely. And then a wonderful four-part work based on, it's called the Solstice Equinox Commissions, and I guess they were commissioned over the course of a year at the various solstices and equinoxes. But for the two of you, what you've been playing this music now for many, many years. So talk about what it requires in terms of the collaboration between the horn and the piano.
Well, I haven't played a lot of this music until this particular album was brought up by Jim Grant just maybe 4 or 5 years ago. It was, most of this was written for a different instrument, mostly for tuba, and rewritten for me for the French horn to be able to put all of his music on one CD. But the collaboration part of it is almost like magic when I sit down with Dina. And then when Jim comes in, he's such an outstanding player that there's really just, it's an effortless project for the three of us to come together. I shouldn't say effortless. There's been some stuff in that trio that we had to woodshed very, very much. And our individual parts, many of them taxing enough that we had to work long and long and long hours on that. But truthfully, to come together with Dina and Jim and to make music with them, the collaboration is maybe part of it being so easy is because of Jim Grant's music and the fact that Dina and Jim are just such outstanding musicians that it all really just falls into place.
I have to echo that. It's just, I think from the time that we all started playing together, it's just been easy. They're so musical, these two, the husband and wife pair, and I'm the outsider in the group, but boy, they just communicate through the music, and that collaboration doesn't always happen. You know, that it can feel that like Celeste is saying, easy. It seems like you shouldn't be saying that. Okay? But we should be saying that. But Jim, what do you think?
Well, absolutely. I agree. I mean, this music is so accessible, and we've got other composers who write for us as well, and it's the same thing. They're friends. And so we're starting from a place of friendship as well as great musicianship. And so the pieces come together nice because we all sort of have the same goals. And it's fun to collaborate like this.
Now, speaking of friendship, as I recall, you've spent quite a lot of time in the summers with James Grant and his wife.
Jim got to be a friend of mine in the tuba world, gosh, almost 25, going on 30 years ago. And over the years, I was involved in a lot of commissions. The Solstice Equinox you mentioned, that was a really fun commission. That was one of his first group consortium commissions. And we had 86 players who joined that commission. And we intentionally wanted accessible pieces. And we wanted pieces that were great concert performance pieces, but that also could be didactic pieces that we could use for teaching. And that was what we created with that Solstice Equinox commission. And since then, he's gone on to do a lot more group commissions. And we worked with him a lot. And yeah, a few years ago, he invited us up to his place. He and his wife own this magnificent 150-acre place in Canada on a lake. And it sounds really, really nice. It's pretty rustic at this point. It's over 100 years old, but they've got cabins and you just go hang out. And there's a kitchen and we all sit around and cook and eat and have fun. And we start talking about things like this project. And here it is 5 years later, we did it.
Well, congratulations again. I'm just curious, Jim, and then we'll go back to Celeste and Dina. When you say a piece that's great for the concert hall, but also didactic that we can use for teaching, what does that mean?
It's written at a level that is challenging, but that it also, with each of those four movements, really brings specific, quote unquote, problems, challenges for musicians to the table. So one is about beautiful musicianship, and one is about pretty extended great technique. And then the other one has really complex intervals and leaps that you have to master. One of them is an unaccompanied piece. So you have to deal with that challenge of playing an unaccompanied piece without the safety of a piano or some other instruments backing you up.
So didactic in terms of what a student could perform and play.
Yeah, we were building new pieces for students to, well, in the tuba world, and this is really more about Celeste and the French horn today, but in the tuba world, we don't have a lot of great literature.
Yeah.
And the stuff that was written in the 30s and 40s is Asleep in the Deep Cellar and Down in the Deep, 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 and oh, here's a whale song, and you know, that's what we had. And so to commission newer composers to write works was a challenge that we all took in the 70s and 80s and started doing this. This particular commission was done in the late 1990s, I guess, the early 2000s. And he started using these teaching pieces, but he realized quickly, though they were written for the tuba, they translated well to a lot of other instruments. So they've been done for clarinet and for cello and now for French horn.
All right. Back to Celeste and Dina. Thank you, Jim Shearer.
Sure.
The CD is called Sultry and Eccentric. There's this really fabulous pair of red high heel shoes that are featured on the, you're wearing them on the cover, and then they're featured on the back, and it says inside the shoe, Sultry and Eccentric.
Isn't that cool?
And then there's a piece called Sultry and Eccentric. So I just got to ask, you know, where did the Sultry Eccentric come from?
Well, the Sultry and Eccentric piece was written originally for tuba and had been recorded by a gentleman, thank goodness, so I had something to listen to. It sounds completely different on the French one because we had to change some octaves and we had to change some, therefore some of the intervals changed to make it accessible for the French horn so that it wasn't down in the deep, deep, deep. But the piece was already written by Jim Grant. And it truly is sultry and eccentric. And so I loved that name. I thought that should be the name of the album. And I don't know if I'm sultry, but I certainly am eccentric. And I went through so many different ideas about a cover. I am not the most photogenic person in the world, and putting my face on a cover was not something I really wanted to do. And we went back and forth with a lot of things. And to be totally honest, my husband and other friends whose opinion I respect deeply were the ones who said, yeah, Celeste, this shot that Sterling did, Sterling Trantham, wow, what a great photographer. He's done all the shots in the album. And what he produced for the cover, when Jim and Sterling and several other guys that know better than I do put it together and showed it to me, I thought, yeah, this works. I did want the red heels, because I still wear high heels. I like wearing high heels. I don't have them on today because I'm teaching middle school, but I'll wear them I won't wear these red shoes at the concert. I've hung those red shoes up. They were just for the but I gotta tell you, Summit Records is the one who came up with putting Sultry and Eccentric inside the shoe. I didn't have anything to do with that, but when Jim showed it to me, I thought that was the coolest thing ever. So yay. Yeah. I'm surrounded by greatness.
Yeah, it's very delightful, the red on the cover, which people will see when they come to the concert. So I'm interviewing by Zoom Celeste Shearer and Dina K. Jones on one little box on my Hollywood Squares here, and Jim Shearer on another, about the CD release concert coming up Friday, September 17th at 7:30 at the Atkinson Recital Hall, and Saturday the 18th at 7:30 at the UTEP Fox Fine Arts Recital Hall, celebrating the music of James Grant. So I know because I've interviewed all of you about this recording over the course of the years, and we've played some of it before in early demo takes, I guess. But is there going to be more music coming from James Grant for horn and piano? I guess that's my question, because I know he writes in the liner notes that now it's all in one CD, but there's a future out there, we hope.
Yeah, I was in contact with him. I don't think I even told Dina, or maybe I mentioned it to Jim. I was talking with James Grant, right after the CD actually came out in the summer, and he said he had some wonderful things to say about everybody's playing and about how happy he was. And the last thing he said in his email was, let's do another one. Mm. So, of course, my heart went, I barely just caught my breath from this one, but the thought of playing another CD of his music with Dina and Jim, I would do it in a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. In a heartbeat.
Same here. I'm in.
Dina, have you had a chance to meet and get to know James Grant also?
Through some email connection there, but also, you know, I actually am in the summers. I go to a music festival over in Italy, and I had a colleague that was playing some of James Grant music at a music festival there with a different pianist. So it became a very small world all of a sudden when I knew that musical language and I knew that composer like really closely. So, but no, I'm looking forward to meeting him in person. And I hear he makes some good barbecue. Is that
bread?
Oh, some bread. Bread. He's a baker.
Yes.
So yeah, I'm ready to meet all of the great things.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah, it says on his website that in the summer months, he leaves his composition desk and puts on an apron and sells baked goods at a farmer's market in Ontario, which is wonderful. Yeah.
The real story there is he studied and did his doctorate at Cornell with Stephen Stuckey. And he paid his way through his doctorate by working as a baker's apprentice. And he got used to getting up at 4 a.m. and baking. And he started applying that to his composition skills. And over his career, he kept getting up at 4 a.m. and doing his writing pretty early. And here a few years ago, he missed baking enough that he literally started back just for fun. And people started liking it. And it got bigger and bigger. And yeah, now he has a little bakery. And on top of doing massive compositions, he's just finishing an $80,000 commission for a Washington, D.C. chorale and a group in Sarasota. I mean, he's still writing massive pieces. But yeah, he's baking just for fun.
Well, you know, there's sort of a nice when you think about both music and baking, right? It takes a lot of ingredients. You put it all together, you stick it in the oven, or you put it on stage, and this alchemy happens, right? It goes from something that doesn't look like anything yet, and then this magnificent thing is created. I love that, actually, that he does both. He's the baker and the composer. Well, we just have a few minutes left, and I'd love to hear a little bit more. So I'm actually, since you're on this with us, Jim, I'm going to play the last movement of the concerto. That's with piano too, right?
It is. This was a double concerto written for euphonium and tuba with wind band. And then, yes, he just reworked it for us for French horn tuba, and we do the piano version. We're waiting for a wind ensemble to call us.
All right. Well, we're going to hear Sprint from the double concerto for French horn and tuba with my guests, all of them, Celeste Shearer on horn, Jim Shearer on tuba, Dina K. Jones on the piano, and I'll come back in to thank you towards the end. We're listening to the last movement of a concerto for tuba and horn by James Grant, and my guests are the performers Celeste Shearer, Dina K. Jones, and Jim Shearer. Thank you all so much for coming on the air today by Zoom. Good luck with the concert, September 17th and 18th. You can hear much more from this great CD.
Great. Thanks so much. Come on out.
Thank you, Leora.